Gloria Fleming, the Board.
And we do have a quorum. Norman, would you lead us in the pledge?
Yes.
If you would.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Any added agenda items?
You said you wanted to skip that.
No, we'll do that. We'll do that next month. Since this is a work session, we'll do it at a formal meeting.
Yeah.
Norman, anything?
Nope.
No?
Okay.
No? Okay. Public comment? I would like to say that we're very open. During the meeting here, if something comes up that you would like to comment on, feel free to raise your hand. You may talk, you may speak. If you have anything to say now, you may. If not, as we go through, you can have something to say. So don't hesitate if you've got a question.
Just interested in what's going on.
Okay, all right. And let the record reflect that one of our outstanding city councilors is with us tonight, Karen Ward. And ex-Mayor Kitty Shields is here. Any public comments from you two?
Not yet.
Okay.
That's good.
All right. Approval of the meeting minutes from June 19th. Any questions, additions, or deletions?
Not for me.
No? All right. Then I'll take a motion to approve the minutes.
I so move.
Second.
Okay, second. Any additional comment? Okay, vote.
Aye.
Norman?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Passed. Okay. Then it is now Deborah McMahon's turn.
Okay. Well, good to be with you this evening. One of the things that we're going to talk about tonight is code enforcement and why that's important, even before we take over the planning program from Deschutes County. And the reason it's important to deal with now is because those issues are not going away. Rick's getting calls daily. Things are piling up. The bad ones are getting worse. And before we do land use, it would be good to have a structure and a program that can be used to manage different kinds of code enforcement issues. The county has a very good program. It's effective. I've given you the document here, and we don't have to go through all of it, but you can just see, glancing at the index, just about everything that we would ever need in Lapine has already been put together here. And so Rick's review was that if we could adopt something so similar to Deschutes County's code enforcement, we could get some help from the county because our rules would be their rules. And that's a good way to proceed because that's what they're doing down here in Lapine today, albeit on a limited basis. So they're set up, and that's a good thing to do. The task we have tonight is to determine what the priorities are. And behind me, I've put together, and this is for discussion, nothing's written in stone, an idea of what some of those priorities would be. What I first looked at was residential and commercial, and figure out that industrial and commercial, roughly the same kinds of issues. So I didn't put a column for industrial. In residential, we get lots of complaints. Is that the photo?
Hey, it is right.
That's our city manager.
Oh, there you are. Okay,
well,
he's there.
It's a pleasure to have you with us, Mr. Allen. Thank you very much.
Yes, we can hear you.
Great. You guys look good. I can see the audience and all of you. This is an experiment. Is that Kitty sitting over there?
That's me. Hi.
Oh, hi. Well, see, you know, as we start planning and having Deborah all over the world, we may have to miss all the time or occasionally. So hopefully this works as an experiment. So welcome to our experiment.
That's looking good.
You have an arrow on your hand. Now it's gone. It's gone.
My old spot shining. Okay, go ahead.
Patty got rid of it.
Whose line is it anyway?
Rick, I was just going over with them the county program, and that even before we take over land use, the complaints about code enforcement issues keep piling up, and we need to do something about it. And the county's program is nicely done. We've been going through, just started to talk about this, and we also we're just starting to talk about priorities. And what I did behind me, I don't know if you can see it.
No, look at that.
Well, I'll walk you through it because I was just beginning.
Okay.
Is roughly two columns, residential and commercial, knowing that industrial falls into commercial. On the residential side, we get a lot of complaints about garbage, improper uses, meaning the land is not being used for the zoning that was intended, noise, pets, and lights. In commercial, we get complaints about whether people have permits or demo permits, the signage, parking, site appearance, colors, design, landscaping, and attractive nuisances and debris. And in red, what I've done is just a sample priority so we can, you know, get jazzed up about discussing this. The number one priority is public health and safety issues, dangerous buildings, open pits, access to harmful items, something burning. I put that as a number one because in all the code enforcement programs in Oregon, it's always number one. Number two, improper land uses. For example, if somebody's got, you know, RV repair right next to a home deep in a residential subdivision. We actually have one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody who wants to slaughter animals in a residential neighborhood. That is also something we may be dealing with. Number three, garbage, because that's always a complaint that we hear that somebody hasn't taken garbage away, they're letting it pile up. Everything related to that, or solid waste. Number four, the lack of permits, illegal building, because that's simply not safe. Number five, attractive nuisances and debris, and some of these overlap. But attractive nuisances, this demo looks like somebody was ripping apart a restaurant. There's jagged metal, gas lines, concrete. The public is not protected from that. There ought to be a fence around that because it's in such a bad state of demo. If a child was attracted to play there, somebody's going to get hurt. And that's why we call them attractive nuisances. In that case, there's probably a building permit missing or something needs to happen there. So out of these listings of complaints, you may want to add more. But I've identified five priorities that I'd like to have you guys discuss and see if those are correct or not. I would urge you to keep number one, always this one. But the rest, we should talk about whether they're in the proper order. Or if I've missed one.
Well, you're saying they overlap. Well, like I see garbage as a public health issue.
Yes. Yes, we can move that down under number one. And debris, that too can be a public health and safety issue. And sometimes not.
Debbie, hey Deb, do you think, I'm thinking out loud from 72 and a half miles away, but could you do it without a 1, 2, 3 part? Could you say, these are the categories we care about?
Sure.
That gives you flexibility.
Sure.
Because you know what could happen is if you could put maybe it's one of the more mundane ones is maybe fifth on your list, but it through the circumstances, it's one that we need to clean up, and then I don't want someone come along saying, well, you know, you got all 1 through 4 you should be working on. And it's kind of like when we were rebuilding Urban Renewal here, one of the things we said is we need a theater, you know, we need a pool, we needed a subdivision. We would not allow a 1, 2, 3. We said they were all needed, and almost I feel the same. You need to worry about signs in some locations, you need to worry about debris, you know, general junk in other locations, zoning in another location.
Okay.
We need a 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay.
Or to say these categories, it's all important. You know, based on if I got 1 junk car, it's not as important. If I got 10, it's important.
Okay.
I don't know. I noticed the Schutz County one did have it kind of 1, 2, 3, 4.
They do.
Because they're trying to send their staff out prioritizing. I'm wondering ours is, for this first few years, because you've had 100 years of none,
yeah,
it'd be a little bit different. We don't have an established system, and we don't have 100 years of code enforcement.
Yeah, that's fine. At some point when you start budgeting for this, it's gonna raise its ugly head because you won't have enough money to do everything.
Well, yeah, but you won't anyway. The bottom line is you're going to make a determination, you know, is it property X that's, you know, kind of buckets, or is it property Y? And you may jump around a little bit.
So, Rick, are you thinking...
We're only going to spend X amount.
Right. Are you thinking all of the things I've listed are important, or just the red circled ones?
Well, I can't see circled things.
Okay.
That have to be sent to me closer or something. But, you know, so I don't know what the rest of you think. You know, it's hard to prioritize if they're all... can be important depending on the circumstance.
And depending on the person complaining, too. You know, something maybe they're important.
The complaints. And even you say, because it is going to be kind of complaint-driven, you know, you get a home occupation maybe in cable. And that's one because it's brand new. Just it's a new outlook we need to work on, okay?
Sure.
You take the wood yard, that's been around a few years.
Hmm.
Recently, they're cutting up a trailer, you know, over in the trailer park on the east side of town.
Yes.
That just popped up. Well, it happens to be 6 inches from 2 trailers. You know, that jumps up. So, you know, you got to be careful, I think, and then categorize it. And then you take the restaurant down there. That's more of a land use nuisance kind of combination.
Comment. Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
Okay.
Do you have a comment?
Yeah, just for the record, state your name and address, please.
Dennis Scott, 52706 Murray Drive.
Okay.
I think above anything, the number one health, public, and safety has to be a priority. Above permits, signage, anything. I mean, the number one thing is, say the sewer is from campers that are parked on lots, that has to be a number one priority. I mean, you can't categorize that under signage or anything else. I mean, it's health issues are the main issue of everything. I mean, so as far as putting them in order, of course, that's a number one issue. So you have to have like number 1, 2, or 3. Or at least a prioritized issue of health, and then go down the line.
Well, a lot of the things on this list fall under public health, like garbage.
Right.
That's a health hazard.
Right.
Somebody with a trailer that's running the gray water out on the ground. That's also a hazard.
But
a lot of those go together. The situation we're going into is that we have very limited funds to work with, like everybody else, but we really are limited with funds because of our size of our population. And we're going to have to pick and choose what gets done first and what gets done last. So I think it's a good idea to have 1, 2, 3, 4. Maybe we even have to have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Because I have issues where I live, and matter of fact, all of them fall under the public safety category.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And but they're four different things. All contribute.
But that's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Allen?
No, I hear what you're saying. All of them are going to be other zoning, more so, would be public, I mean, you could call it a safety, you know, a public health type issue. That's kind of a generic to them all. You can argue, you know, if I've got 10 horses, you know, on my acre, you know, there's too much waste coming from it. That's a safe health. The camp trailers, Mr. Scott mentioned, you know, the camp trailers on the ground dumping their sewage, that's a public health. They all end up kind of getting there. What I'm afraid of, if you get, again, it depends on how you word this. If you put public health first, and then we're supposed to, you don't go to number two or three or four until you finish number one, for 10 years, you won't touch. A sign would never reach a public health. So therefore, for a decade, you'll never touch a sign issue in Lafayette. And that has a broader significance with economic development, the visual aspect of your town, and that's what I'm saying is you're going to have to work on a little bit of all of them. You put your emphasis on health and safety. That is a priority. But I don't want people to think then, since science is fifth, you don't touch them. That's, I guess, what I'm saying.
Yeah, and that's understood. Yeah.
Right. And this is going to be complaint-driven anyway, correct?
Most
of the time.
Yeah, except for the ones that we're familiar with. I mean, we're
existing.
All familiar with a handful of issues that just have to be dealt with. And that's a good segue into understanding this program, because this program does everything from give you examples of the first contact letter, how to proceed in a reasonable way to make sure somebody's first educated about the problem, and then how code enforcement works. And there's a reason for that. The reason for that is because sometimes, and here's the example, sometimes these code enforcement issues end up in front of a judge. And so staff has to follow a very pragmatic process to make sure that there's paper in the file and everything's identified and the proper steps have been taken. Let me give you an example, a real life example that I'm painfully aware of, is years ago when I was a beginning planner, I was in charge of an apartment complex for the city, and they were getting built, and we did the land use, and they got their permit, and we were helping them manage their project, and they stole water. They cut the chain and the lock to the water box and just turned on water without signing up, and so they're getting free water. Well, I instructed one of my enforcement people to go lock it right back up. Well, that ended up in front of a federal judge in Eugene, because when the water got turned off, it burned up a whole bunch of water heaters. And what I had done wrong, I had not followed the proper policy, which was that person has a property right in the water, whether it was illegally given or not, and they were due a hearing so that they could understand what they had done wrong, what the potential penalty was, the correct steps, etc. Because I had not done that, the city's insurance company had to pay for 25 water heaters. Yeah, not the most shining part of my career, and I didn't bring that up in my interview. Obviously.
Did you get fired? Learning process. Yeah.
No, and it was 1,000 years ago. So this county program makes sure that anybody who's doing code enforcement for Lapine will follow these steps, and the county's using this religiously. And so it's very, very helpful. I don't see where we have to do much except change out a logo. This particular complaint form is very comprehensive, and it's really well done.
Does the county now have any active complaints that they're working on?
Tons.
Down here?
Down here, I don't know exactly how many down here.
Yeah, I know there they do, but I would be interested.
Probably.
Yeah.
Five,
maybe a handful.
Five. but then they're putting off, they're kind of, they kind of are trying to shove them off and not deal with, but I'd say there's five, and there's probably another, if you think about it, we don't have 100 of them waiting or 50 of them waiting, at first you're going to be a little busier, you can pick out that top 10, and so we got five of them working now, and then there could be two or three others that you're going to get on, like the flea market down by the wood yard, that comes up all the time, that's one you work a little harder at, and it kind of dies off, and then you have to kind of dig in and start looking more. I think these trailer parks in general have issues. More trailers than they're supposed to have, too close to each other, just not doing garbage service, so that the bags are, I don't know where that all fits in this, but those are kind of, I think it'll die off, though, don't you think, Deb? I mean, really, when you get a few done, then it'll, sign ordinance, now, the sign ordinance, which is probably the most violated, or it will, but that's one, you work with people, you send letters, you kind of work through it, they're not, obviously is dire, risk factors.
Well, and we made a commitment to the community that, it's going to be over a period of time for compliance and, we aren't going to swoop down immediately. But the kinds of things that the county can help us with if we adopt this program, it makes it easier for them to work here because we'll be authorizing them to do that work. The other thing is, it would be foolish to start a program without having a few workshops with the chamber, a variety of groups in town, the realtors, the banks. Think of anybody who's connected to land use, particularly the commercial business owners. Just about try to hit as many people in town as we can with some sort of outreach explaining who, what, where, why, and how. And I think if we don't do that, of course, that would be awful. But if we get support to really focus on the livability characteristics that people are always talking about, they want Lapine to shine. And to do that, we need some support. So we should be doing this in lockstep with those other agencies. And I can't imagine anyone saying that this would be a bad thing to do as long as it's done in a pragmatic and fair way. And that's what we'll have to do as a planning commission, is be able to tell people when we have workshops with them how this is going to work. So as a homework assignment, I want you to first study the index, and then I'd like you to go through this. And Patty's also put together a reference book that has examples and all of the county documents for one particular case that was so comprehensive. I think it was, 500 pages, Patty?
Mm-hmm.
500 pages for this one case. It is resolved. But it's a big one, and I wanted you to take a look at this at some point in time. And then we've made some discs, too.
Yeah, they're right in there.
Yeah. If somebody wants to take discs home, then we have these available, and I'll leave those here for you. And then we have the hard copy.
If you provide them the actual code, that one document that I saw was the, the rules of priorities, kind of what you have in the code enforcement officer. Do they have that?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So it says how many junk cars, what's the definition of, solid waste, whatever?
Definition of solid waste.
Well, I'm not saying solid. I mean, in other words, you sent me some drafts, other drafts, and I see nuisance abatement ordinances, and it will talk about abandoned buildings. It'll actually say if the building is abandoned and it's X, it's Y. If a car isn't registered, it isn't licensed. All of that. I haven't seen that yet. Has that been around?
Well,
they need to know that.
That's
they
not
know
in here.
Rules that we're talking about adopting.
Yeah, let
that's
me.
More important than,
hang on.
What the application looks like and some of those things. They need to know. Because they're going to force these rules on their neighbors
that.
We need to know what these rules are.
I brought that, I thought, and that's a good thing to talk about.
I mean, that's the meat and potatoes of this. I know Doug and all of you, you're going to want to know, you know, if you're going to raise your hand on this thing, it's, you know, what's it saying?
Yeah. Let's talk about that, the mechanics a little bit. This is the program for code enforcement. But what is it you're enforcing? You're enforcing, for the county, they're enforcing their entire panoply of codes. For us, it will be our zoning ordinance, our subdivision ordinance, the comp plan, all those things. But primarily the zoning ordinance and the subdivision ordinance and the sign code. So let's say there's a violation of a sign. And a sign has fallen over, it's partially in the right-of-way, and it's not getting taken care of. Okay, there's a place in the sign code, a chapter, and a subheading that talks about the proper placement of sign code. If you're to file an enforcement action, start off with the letter, or a phone call in this case, and explain that, hey, just want to let you know, this sign's fallen over and it's in violation of 18.22XX. And they'll say, what are you talking about? It's not a sign, it's a piece of art. No, no, we have a definition for a sign. This is an advertising medium. And because the definition in the code says it's a sign, therefore we have to ask you to put that back on your property and get it out of the right-of-way. So you're drilling back to the original code that allows the thing in the first place, and also the section of the code that says you can't have signs in the right-of-way. So you've got two things that you can do, all within the sign code, and then you take the tools that are in here if you have to go to the next step. All of this has to be documented. So, you know, you can document it in-house as, you know, the site, the zoning, the issue, the progress, and then that goes in your code enforcement book. Because sooner or later, maybe this person's a habitual, you know, creates habitual problems. We'll be going back and documenting this eventually on GIS or some way to show how each property has complied or not with certain things. So tracking will be important. In the beginning stages of this program, we won't have enough money to do that, but we'll be keeping things on record so that eventually this can be downloaded into some sort of program. So paper first, and then what Rick's talking about is what I just mentioned. You have to be able to come back to the code that creates the rule or the regulation in the first place. There's one other element that goes along with this, is creating the ability for the city to do enforcement and abatement procedures. And that's more something that's outside of land use. It's more of the legal context of saying the city has the authority to do this. It has all of these formats set up. The mechanism is set up in your basic code of ordinances. So when you go to the city, like where the city charter's kept, and then there's basic codes and ordinances that are not land use, that's where the legal mechanism to say that we can do all this enforcement will take place. I had a piece of paper. I know I brought it tonight. I was going to show you how that works. And somehow, yeah, there it is. Okay, so Patty made a copy for you in the back of your documents. You will see, and this is very similar to what we have in the zoning ordinance, it's called General Provisions, and it talks about interpretations of the code. It'll look like this. Remedies, violation declaring a nuisance, the violation itself with all the subchapters so that it can be referred to. And then on the second page we have just the legal language about the ordinance itself. So the most important thing is every code has this in the back on how the code operates. And this is helpful for us in code enforcement. So if there's a violation, it states right here, the location, construction, repair, alteration of a building or structure, or subdivision, partitioning, or other use of land in violation of any provision of this ordinance or permit or land use approval or status determination issued underneath the Deschutes County Code is a Class A violation. Okay, what's a Class A violation? This applies to us too. There is a schedule of fines that is developed based on the Oregon Revised Statutes, comes out of the Oregon Judicial Department, and it describes what a Class A violation is. It's got the presumptive fine, which is what the code enforcement officer can levy if necessary, or the sheriff, and then a chart of what happens to those fines if they're reduced by the judge, etc., etc. So these Class A through D violations are the kinds of fines that we would have the ability to levy for somebody, just like a ticket. And then it is dealt with in circuit court at this time. So either they pay them or they take it to the higher authority, and that's the circuit court. So we will do is make sure we have the proper language and the mechanics to make sure that we can do everything that's in this packet. And that's the next step for us. That's a lot of technical detail to do that, but we'll bring that to you after Jeremy's had a chance to look at it too. And then what I'd like to do next is, unless there's more discussion on this, and we can add to this, of course, I'd like to see what your thoughts are about getting the Planning Commission. Perhaps we could have an open house and invite representatives of the chamber and the realtors and you know, business owners, etc., and talk about this program that we'd like to begin to work on. We could have several members of the City Council there so that we get some continuity. And I think it would be a good forum to start discussing what's important in the community and how we're going to have to deal with it, given the kinds of calls that come in. And Rick, I think you and the previous city managers typically got sometimes a handful of calls a day, sometimes none, but pretty much a full load of code enforcement issues?
Yeah. I mean, yes, the people are called all quite frequently. Patty, of course, takes a lot of them, yes.
Okay.
I mean, it's our number one, you know, kind of other than just paying water or utility bills. It's the, you know, people. A lot of inter-neighbor stuff, you know, just all the things that come with that stuff. You know, it's apparent. I mean, there's someone mad over in Cato because the neighbor got a bird. Well, you know, that loud stuff regularly.
Has it
come and go on most people's property. But that's a pet bird.
Oh, it's a pet. Okay. It's
not hooked on a chain. It sits in a guy's tree, but it's a green one of the green things. So, you know, I don't know. Those are more complicated.
You mean a big macaw parrot?
One of those types of things, and it squawks and it says hello and goodbye and all that. And then the guy next door is mad because it's always talking to him. And, you know. If that, you know, you get those kinds and that, you know, you just kind of have to finesse your way through that.
Low priority.
But, yes, Deb, still, I want to go back to what I said. Do we have a nuisance? You mentioned the you know, like subdivision ordinances and all those things. Do we have a nuisance abatement ordinance?
Not per se. We have violations and provisions in each code that describe what happens if you're bad.
Okay, and on the problems that you know that are going on with, say, most of these things, because what the county is telling me, that most of the violations fall under what they consider nuisance abatement type stuff. They're not zoning, They're not, you know, they're not a general planning issue. They're not a building code issue.
Right.
So it's just, again, it's this kind of nuisance stuff. And I was under the impression that that we don't have.
We don't have the legal structure yet in the code of city ordinances that legally gives us the authority to enforce each code. So that, if you remember the document I sent you that we worked on with Jeremy, that has to be put in place. Otherwise we just have all these individual things and the city hasn't granted itself the authority and a process to do that.
I am confused, but I'm going to go on from it, because if the planning commission isn't, you know, you guys got it, that's fine. Because I realize all of that. I am still waiting to read or find a document that says in the nuisance side, forget zoning, subdivision. I realize signs, you got all those ordinances. The planning commission has approved and they've been adopted. I'm talking about the junk cars. I'm talking about all of that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm under the impression that we have not adopted an ordinance that lists all of those types of violations and what you can and can't have on your property.
Does the county have one? Deschutes?
But yeah, page 22 in the back hit describes nuisance abatement, and it says nuisance abatement. Chapter 13.36 of the Deschutes County Code authorizes the abatement of county code violations that are defined as public nuisances. And
right. What are they?
Is there a list up under that?
Yeah, there's not a list underneath them at all, except for what they call dangerous buildings and public nuisances. Public nuisance is defined by definition in another document. And what we don't have, Rick, and maybe I didn't say it very well, is that we need to have in place, and we have those drafts that Jeremy has that can be adopted by the city council that give the city the ability to enforce things. And just because the codes say that, you know, if it's a violation you do this, you still have to have the armature at the top that the city is allowing and providing that process to occur.
Right. I for the sake of what the discussion point I'm trying to make, if you would allow to look, I realize there'll be pages of paragraphs above that say what you can and can't do, mm-hmm. and how we give a ticket and all of that. I'm talking about, unless the planning commission has it in front of them, what are the actual bullet point rules that we're telling people they can and can't do when it comes to nuisance abatement?
That's all in here.
Someone I need help with. I mean, if I'm the only one, then I'm going to back right off. I've seen this. You sent me the draft that Jeremy worked on.
Yep.
And it talked about, you know, it defines the old shed outside and all of this stuff. And I haven't seen it. Because what the county said to me is, adopt our nuisance abatement ordinance that says you can have one junk car, not three. It says you can have X, you can have Y. And then we would go with that, not the draft that Jeremy sent or that you sent, because that's establishing our own, which could be very different from Deschutes County.
Yeah.
Right.
What Nick and I at the county talked about was, for the next year, let's just adopt their definition, and then you can start enforcing it.
Yeah, and that's what Lori gave me, was this document. And she's in charge of code enforcement, and she sent this over, and I said, do you have a separate nuisance abatement policy or law or rule? And she said, no, what we use is in this document, and this is all we use. So you have to go, if there's a violation in the zoning ordinance, somebody's put two houses on one lot, you go to the zoning ordinance to see what's allowed. If the second house isn't allowed, you use this document to let them know it's not allowed, based on chapter X in the zoning ordinance.
Okay, what
and I would assume we have rules on two houses on a lot.
Yeah. We have rules.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I guess that takes me back to the larger zoning subdivision. I know that all in there.
Right.
I keep going back to what I call junk.
I want
the definitions constitutes.
And we have that in the zoning ordinance, Rick. We have 4 or 5 pages. It was an extensive description of junk and what's allowed and what's not allowed. Did we lose you? Hello? You have frozen face.
Okay, do we
do we
actually have a list?
Yes.
Okay, of
like you said, is there some place it says there's only one
where
car?
Where is it?
It's in the zoning ordinance.
In this packet.
That's right. Of allowed uses and then the junk section.
In there
huge.
It says somebody can't have 15 junk cars in their driveway.
Yes.
Or they can't dump their RV on the property.
Yeah.
That, but what about the bird? We didn't address that.
That might have went.
We did not address parrots.
But what I'm saying is that there's always going to be one more thing that's going to be a nuisance to somebody that they're going to want to file a complaint about.
Yeah.
How do you encompass those things? What do you do with them?
If we feel as a community from the City Council and the Planning Commission that a loose parrot is not consistent with the livability of a neighborhood, we could modify our zoning ordinance and say that exotic pets such as birds need to be housed inside a structure. And that would solve that.
Yeah, well, you know, they do taste like chicken, you know.
I would hope so. Did we lose? I think we lost him again.
I don't think we can have a document that covers everything.
There's no way.
The way I think about it is.
But exotic animals.
Somebody
might have thought about that.
Somebody brings one of these into City Hall and says, "Here, Patty, I want to file this," and then Mr. Allen, the city manager, would look at it. He would have to make a determination, well, is this a viable complaint?
Right.
Or, you know, my neighbor's cat comes over and poops in my yard.
Well, yeah, there you go.
There you go.
That's what
I'm
talking about, you know? There's all
and
kinds of things.
That'll have to be a determination by him as to whether, we should act on this or we should have it for discussion or it's silly.
And you gotta have a starting point.
I suppose if somebody didn't get satisfaction, they could always go before the council or the planning commission.
Absolutely.
Sure. To follow up.
If we need to change codes, then the elected and appointed bodies need to consider that. Sometimes you change a code, and sometimes for the cat, you won't.
Carry this one step further. Nobody that resides in the city of Lapine, other than those of us that are sitting here, really know what the codes or the ordinances or the zoning or anything. They don't have a clue.
Nope.
What's in this document here?
Not
you don't have an idea.
I've read it
3 times. I haven't got to have an idea.
But
okay.
But it's common sense, generally.
Yes.
We tried to keep it that.
What
we did.
What we need to do is we need to inform the residents of what we do, what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because all of a sudden, the guy that lives down the street from me that's got 15 junk cars that's been there since 1962 is going to get a letter saying you got to move them, and he's going to go, they've been there for 50 years, you can't.
But also, people play on ignorance.
Yes.
Very true. So,
but that goes back to where is it written down?
Right? Yes.
We need to have something to come to him and say, Section 3.
That's right. You
this
will.
Is it.
You
we
have
need
it.
To have. We need to have an advertisement for a month in the local papers, which is the Eagle and the Wise Buys and the Frontier.
And posted.
Posted. And then have a meeting where all the residents are invited. And it would be a question and answer thing. They would come in and they'd say, what are you doing?
And we also need to, you know, it took us how long? A year and a half? 2 years to put this together?
It took me 2 years, yeah.
And there was opportunities at the time to come forward on
this.
But you know as well as I do that in most people that fall under a code violation are going to wait till the very last minute to jump up and complain.
Yeah. Or wait till after it goes, like the signage.
Yeah.
But the main thing is enforcement.
Yes.
And you got to have a firm enforcement. Look there.
Well, this, the city council is going to, and is in the process of hiring a part-time code enforcement officer. Our job right now today, we're limited to land use planning only. We're not allowed to do anything else. That changes the first of the year. Then we will begin to get into this kind of stuff.
Can you? Can I tell you why I'm here?
What?
I applied for a permit for a simple little 20 by 28 storage building. It costs us $600.
For the permit?
For the county permit?
For the county permits.
Okay.
Which is all well and fine. The building inspector came down, he measured one hole, talked about gun violations and stuff off the bridge, and says, when you're all done, I'll come back and give you your final.
Okay.
That's not building enforcement. That's not getting your $600 worth of money. Where's that money going to? Why does it go to Lapine? Anybody from Lapine can walk in and say the same thing. I mean, I'm a builder from New York, I'm a builder from Southern California, and it's just, you know, I'm saying, great, if I'm a resident building something, but what value does it have to the community when somebody comes in there? And then he says, well, we just draw straws to who has to go down to Lapine. Like it's a secondhand community, and that, you know, I moved to Lapine because it is it's different than that.
Two points. Okay. Number one, you probably already know that Lapine has been ignored by the county for a long time.
Okay.
That's been something that's, but thanks to that man on the screen behind you, that is getting much better.
And I'm not here to complain.
No.
I'm here to try to help.
Number two, we cannot do this ourselves until the council has the ability to hire the people to do it. Okay? We don't have a building inspector working for the city. So we have the other choices that we let the county do it. It used to be, now, 5 years ago, they wouldn't even talk to you. You call them on the phone. Now, they come down here. So it's getting better. Now, granted, it's not the best in the West, but it's an improvement. So a little bit of improvement over a long period of time will add up to something.
But the thing I to point out is the $600 would be going to the fine instead of going.
It will eventually, when we have
the ability and the resources, that would be the natural growth. But that's going to be a long.
But you got to start somewhere.
But it's good to hear.
That's what you're doing.
Yeah, it's good to hear your comments because you know we have to take that into consideration.
Was yours a new building you were building?
Pardon?
Was it a new building?
Yeah.
And you say that you don't think the inspection was adequate, right?
Oh, adequate.
That's not good either.
It's a joke.
Yeah, that's not good either for our communities.
It adds to the impression of the direction that Lapine is going, and I know that's not what you guys want.
Absolutely not.
You know, that's my whole purpose. Mm-hmm. You know?
We also.
I've been a building inspector in upstate New York. I've been with KB Home in Southern California. Mm-hmm. I just want to help whatever way I can. And, you know, I'm not terribly outspoken, but when something's not right, you know, you just have to do something.
I do have to say, though, we've had the exact opposite. The county has given people a bad time about building something. And, you know, the inspectors, they've been very upset with the inspectors because they thought they were very petty and picky.
And a lot of it, so, you know, building trade is personality.
Yes.
Yes. Very much so.
I can get a condo unit approved just by being nice. Yeah. You know, where you can't build a garage if you're
Just, I'd like to say that, you know, this is going to take some time to read over just to see where you're starting from. And what we can do without a list of stuff.
And then I want to put together kind of an outreach program so we can get public notice out, that we understand it well ourselves, that we test it internally before we talk to public groups, that we use our code, and let's say we take a little, we need a little tour, let's go find one, we have lists of them, and then come back and test the code using this program and see if we can find in the code where it's allowed or not. Do we have adequate descriptions? And then what would we do as the first step? And just test a full one until we're comfortable what we're going to be asking staff or the county to do for us. And I think that's going to be a good way to be able to build up to talking to those public groups, especially when we have outreach sessions trying to convince people that we know what we're doing and it's to help the community, and here's how we'll do it.
Yes, well, I would like to see it personally, for sure.
Yeah.
Rick, and, do you have anything to
there's
add?
Probably, if we could take cases that pertain to us right now that we know that are out there.
Yeah.
Whether it's the meat packing or, you know, the junk cars on history.
They are doing that.
If we could get two or three examples and go through those examples.
Yes.
To see if they will hold water.
Yeah. Rick, did we lose you?
No.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
You're very good at being still.
I'm still so hung up. You just have to show me in our current ordinance what all the different rules are. And I'm assuming the way the conversation is going today is in our current ordinance.
Yes. Yes.
Let me read. This is an example of the ordinance that Jeremy sent. A nuisance abatement ordinance. So if you just bear with me, just an example of the types of thing it says, and maybe this is on our ordinances somewhere, but I'm assuming not, that you guys would have been presenting this to me as an option. And this is what I want to get adopted, but I feel like the Planning Commission has to know what it says. This is just an example of a section. Outside storage prohibited. Unless specifically allowed by law, it will be unlawful to store items of personal property outdoors or outside of a building or structure that is not wholly enclosed. Notwithstanding, the following items of personal property may be stored outside. Firewood. It's fine if it's stacked and usable. Usable means firewood that has more wood than rot, so it can't be just a rotting pile of firewood. It's cut to length that would fit a lawful fireplace or wood stove. Construction material. If the construction material is stored in a manner that protects its utility, which means it's stored so you can still use it as a 2x4, and it's stored to prevent its deterioration, and it's reasonably expected to be used for construction, you can keep it. Okay? I'll stop there. But this goes on for pages. And so what I'm trying to make sure that the Planning Commission knows all of those things, and are they in a current city ordinance? And if they're not, we're going to have to adopt one that does.
Can you send that to us, Rick?
No. Why? No. I mean, I can. Do you have your computer there? No. But
no, I mean, yeah. Eventually.
This is just Jeremy's draft. You mentioned it earlier.
Yeah.
This is the actual, and it talks about junk cars and all that. So the point I've been making with you, Deb, when we talked on the phone and everything else is, the mechanical part of the mechanism and mechanics of what we do when we find someone that breaks the rules, we need to spend a lot of time on that. But also, we have to know what are these rules. Because that's ultimately what you're placing the hardship, if you want to call it, or requirements on the public. This ordinance, the title is 2013 blank, and this is a draft. An ordinance establishing definitions of nuisances, penalties, and procedures for abatement of nuisances in the city. Do we have something that defines what a nuisance is currently? Like I just described on storing of wood.
You're asking, does the county have one now?
No,
do we have one?
Do we have one?
But I thought we were adopting theirs.
But
But the code has to be
my point
detailed.
Is, has she given you a document that will lay out those definitions, the things I just read to you?
No, I don't have that.
And that's what we need.
Well, yeah.
Because what you're reading duplicates and in some cases expands. We never put anything in the zoning ordinance describing how wood could be stored.
Right.
We never did that.
Of course not. So, I don't care if it's in the county ordinance, I need a piece of paper that shows me what it is we're actually enforcing. I want to know if Doug Ward can keep a stack of wood on his property. Can he keep junk cars? I need the definitions of all of it. That's all I'm saying. I think I'm losing it with everybody.
Well, and not to belabor it, the zoning ordinance tells you what you can do on your property. What you're reading to me is much more detailed, and we need to see it. It's possible we either have to add that to the zoning ordinance or create a separate document.
But that is a typical nuisance abatement ordinance. It's an ordinance. It goes into tires. What's a tire? What's a waste tire? It is a tire that's no longer suitable for its original intended purpose because of wear, damage, or defect.
We'll need to see it, Rick.
Tire.
Yeah, we'll need to see it because I don't have it in front of me.
You know, on that particular.
But don't you think to have a nuisance abatement ordinance, you have to even don't worry about looking at this one right now. Don't you have to have something like this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
yep.
Well, apparently not.
Well, so because and you keep running it off all of Deschutes County's ordinances. The way I was understanding it, we were just going to adopt the nuisance abatement ordinance. And now, if they don't have it that way, then maybe that won't work, and we'll have to adopt our own,
But even if they do have one, Ben is different than the pine.
Yeah.
I mean,
but it's a place to start.
Yeah.
But you've got to have a place to start.
Yeah, right.
But even like you use the example of the tires, okay? A lot of people use tires for planters. What do you do with something like that?
Well, and that's why, what I think these things usually say is they got all kinds of rules. You don't enforce them. It's like you probably violated a rule coming into the council meeting tonight. It's jaywalking. No one's going to get a ticket for it. But it's technically against the law. If someone's taking tires, well, what if a person put 50 tires around their property, stacked them four high, and then they
makes
say,
well,
I put petunias in the top of it, so therefore it's a planter. Well, I'm sorry, but it's not a planter. You can't do that. Yet, if someone puts two or three tires around their front porch and put plants in it, is anyone going to come say anything? No. But that's why when I read this draft, and this is a typical nuisance ordinance, and I'm aware, and I've seen them in Madras, Brett and Ben, they all have them. You talked about the derelict structures.
Right.
This gets into, like, this is how you clean up the restaurant downtown that's half torn apart. It talks about disrepair, dilapidated buildings, and, pest infection. There's a health issue. You get that all the time. That your premises have to be kept free from pests. Pest infections may be promptly exterminated in a manner that will not be injurious to humans. Noxious weeds, we've had calls on that. The noxious weeds, they're prohibited. This is a typical nuisance abatement ordinance.
Well,
the burning, the garbage, rubbish, rubber, cloth, or anything that burning, the smoke emitted, creates an offensive odor. We get calls about people burning diapers in a burning barrel.
Sure.
Sure.
Well, we'll work on that next time, Rick, if we can get a copy of it.
Well, yeah, I can give you this, but this hasn't been, I don't even know if this is one we want.
We got to start on something.
Well, I thought the county had one. What you're I'm learning, folks, as you're doing this. You're telling me, Deborah, the county doesn't have a document like this.
Nope, I asked Six Ways from Sunday. I talked to Lori personally. Lori Furlong, she's in charge of their code enforcement program, and I copied you on those emails. They just don't have it.
What about, you said Madras has them?
Well, every city does. Yeah.
Well, a county may be different because it's not urban.
Yeah, can we get a copy of that maybe and start?
We could get them, I'm saying, from any city. So we could get them to Prineville Matters. They all have nuisance orders. Some are better than others.
Yeah.
Jeremy, the one he gave me, probably is one from, because he's city attorney in five cities. It's probably of one of those cities, would be my guess. He didn't sit and draw the stuff for us.
Right.
You know. So,
well, yeah. If we can get a copy, we'll work on it.
Yeah, you should have a copy because you were working on what I bought at one time.
Well, Jeremy's appears to be more comprehensive, so
okay.
So you'll email that to us.
No, I can't. I can't really as much while I'm sitting here staring at you talking, so I can't.
No, I mean when you can, will you?
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, right now, and I can forward it to you.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the place we really need to start because you're going to go to these city and county people.
Yeah.
They're going to ask those questions. What are you guys going to enforce? This is what we're looking to enforce.
Yeah.
You know, to clean up our neighborhoods, our town. It may be simple. It may but we need something in writing.
We all know what needs to be to be fixed.
Right.
Because we live here, and we've lived here for a long time, so we already know. And going back to what I said before, way back in 2006 when the people voted for a corporation, the main thing was that they wanted the city to be cleaned up.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was the main thing they talked
I'm sitting
about.
Here.
So, Rick, if you could get us a copy of that draft so we can look at it, we can put something together that fits for Lapine. Can you do that?
Yeah, I just sent it to also Patty. She can forward this draft. I'm a little nervous because, I mean, this hasn't been vetted at all.
Yep.
This is just,
that's okay.
I'm so confused at this point. When I had a conversation with Nick, the issue was, let me back up, we were having all these problems, okay? So they called me and they said, Rick, would you come meet with us? Because the county was tired of dealing with them. This was 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I said, yes. I went to the county. And the entire team was there. The code people, Cynthia, Nick Lelak, the whole hee-haw gang. And we walked through all the different issues in town that we've discussed earlier, the four or five that are out there. And they said in almost all cases, the building code was not an issue, so they can't do anything about that. And most fell under what they said were nuisance abatement issues. Junk, looked bad, smelled bad, offensive to the neighbor. And I said, well, we don't have that yet. And so they said, well, we can't enforce, you know, we can't enforce ours in the city, obviously, unless you were to adopt ours. I said, well, maybe that's the quickest thing to do is adopt the county nuisance abatement ordinance. Then we could use that for a year or two while if you want to change it, you know, and make it Lapine, you could do it. My other thought was the people are already falling under that ordinance. It's not being enforced. But the fact is, since before we incorporated, those rules were in place. So therefore, we're not putting a new level of restriction on people. We're just enforcing the one that's been there for 20 or 30 years. You know, we're not adopting some strict ordinance.
But why not pick out some like sister cities that are similar to Lapine and just see what they have for their ordinances? And then you'd have some place to start with instead of, you know, like whether it's Redmond or...
But did you hear me? What my thought was, sir, was take one that was a rule before we incorporated.
Right.
And therefore, it's a rule now. It's not the sea suddenly becoming this big 10,000-pound gorilla. We're simply enforcing the rules that have always been there.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then work towards, if you want to get a city of sisters one, you know, that's pretty, it's got to be pretty aggressive.
No.
But I'm still confused because you're saying that take Deschutes County was here, they should have been enforcing all along, correct? right?
That's right.
All right. So you're saying if they have these things in writing someplace, adopt that because it was always there, and adopt to go forward with it, correct? But on the same hand, you're saying they don't have that individual breakdown.
Well, that was my original question an hour ago was, I just haven't seen that document, and I assumed it existed. Deborah's kind of saying maybe they don't do it that way.
They would have to have something.
They'd have to have a starting point.
Yes.
Well, I'll ask Lori again and see if there's something missing, but out of these 500 pages or more of stuff that she sent us, plus her discussion with me, she said they didn't have a specific nuisance abatement process except for what's in here.
Okay.
But
yes, I'll find out. They've taken kind of the stuff, the one that Jeremy had, they've taken and it's inside other ordinances all over the place.
That's what we have too, is a zoning code, sign code, all these things that have rules. You break
right.
those rules, you enforce against it.
Well, that's what I asked. If we may already have these in here.
Except for this detailed stuff that I find fascinating. If wood is a specific issue, and it sounds like something may be a problem in the pine, and only in the pine, then we should take a look at that.
This ordinance, Jeremy did not, so he just forwarded, obviously it was another city.
Yeah.
Okay, what, take the cars, for instance. Where does it say? In Deschutes County, how do they enforce one car, two cars, three cars, 10 cars?
Yeah, they just like us. They have a definition of junk, junk dealer, junkyard, and it talks about articles and what you can have and what you can store, and ours does that too. So I'll double check again because I'll make sure, and then I'll compare to the data that you've just sent us.
What we could do would be to go through all those zoning and pull out the specifics and create a new nuisance abatement and then reference the zoning codes.
Yeah.
So it would be a separate thing, but yet it would still stay in the other codes.
Well, you're absolutely right, because you don't want to have a nuisance abatement list that says this is wrong and then your zoning ordinance says it's okay.
Right.
That's right.
So we have to make sure that they're coordinated.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I bet you got some of this spread throughout ordinances.
I think so.
Some of it's not there.
Yeah.
That's what we were hoping to do.
I'm thinking about the chickens.
But
chickens, horses, junk.
But look at the people who have to understand it, the people that are going to be in,
right.
we're going to apply it to.
Right.
It has to be
right.
simple enough that they can say, okay, here it is, five cars. I can have five cars and that's it.
Yeah.
And we can go right to a book and say that.
Here's an interesting one. I don't know, Deb, you guys, is it anywhere in this particular talks about glazing, which is windows?
Right.
Windows. Storefronts. It says all glazing. Remember, if you don't know, that's windows. So all glazing materials will be maintained free from cracks and holes. Glazing with holes, cracks, or that is partially or wholly missing, in other words, you put cardboard over a hole, will be replaced within 15 days from the date of a written notice.
Mm-hmm.
It really does go from soup to nuts.
Yeah, that's good.
That's what we need.
Just looking at junk again.
Thank you, Mr. Allen.
You're welcome.
Anything else, need ever?
No. Just that if we go that direction with the specific list of things that are noxious, that we double check and make sure that we have something that's either consistent, or if there's an inconsistency, we're going to have to fix it.
And then we can reference it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, because we never dealt with parrots or wood. That just wasn't something.
We just didn't think of it.
Yeah.
Who had that in the ordinance.
And as you said, looking around, driving around, you can put 50 items on the list and deal with those.
We need to draw up a list that pertains to Lapine. I don't care anything about system. I really don't.
You can see, say, take that wood. You can almost picture a little bit, maybe. Again, it's why it's there. If someone's got 20 cords of wood backed up against the fence to their neighbor, it's falling over, it's rotten. It's kind of that general junk, kind of right by a place. It's just got junk out everywhere. That's probably why it's there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a reason.
Okay.
But okay. Yellow Pines 1 acre lots, you know, and people moved down here for that. That's why we moved here.
Yes.
And it's not like in Denton where you have
everything's
150 feet, you know. So of course you don't want wood pile there where down here you can. So it's almost like you have to come up with your own.
Yeah, just for La Pine.
Yeah,
yeah,
for La Pine.
Yeah. Said we need to.
Karen, have you got any comments you want to throw in?
I just have one question. How are you going to enforce the people that think they're grandfathered in?
You mean somebody who's had a bunch of nuisances on their property and
been
now
there for
we start 30
or 40 years.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's maybe addressed with the Deschutes County before that they've never just enforced it. The rule's on the books, but they haven't enforced it. That's what he's saying. Adopt something that's been there the whole time.
Yeah,
and we're not imposing new.
I believe that Deschutes County has always had a grandfather clause.
I don't know.
Well, on attractive nuisances or public health and safety issues, let's say you've got three bad ones on one property. You just have to do a triage and pick them off and start working with that person and finding a way to go through the steps that are outlined in here. All the way through. You may have to go to a court-enforced action to get some of those things taken care of. For example, let's say they have an open cesspool and we want that fixed right away and they don't want to do it. And no matter how nice we are and working on it, we're going to need some assistance from either the sheriff or the court system. And eventually, what Lori was telling me in this example that we brought here before you was that they ended up fining every day, and that's what motivated the person to comply, is they knew that the $100 a day fine for ignoring things and not getting it done was piling up. And eventually what happened on one case is the county had to file a lien on the home and the property, and that was transferred to the county at the very end, and then things were cleaned up.
So what you're telling me is there's not going to be any grandfathered in, and all the rules are going to be for everybody the same.
Yes. The only thing that's grandfathered is if a structure is in a place and it's had a restaurant on it for 1,000 years, but it's got a residential zoning designation. That would be grandfathered through a land use type approval. And then the grandfathering clauses that control those kinds of things say you can't enlarge it, you can repair it. If half of it burns down, you can rebuild it. But typically for those non-conforming uses, we'll know about them and keep track of them. But the things you're talking about as a non-conforming nuisance, a whole bunch of things that are building up on a property, those wouldn't be grandfathered. Not those activities. A structure is typically grandfathered or a particular use in a building.
But how do you deal with a man who has his home and his business in one location, which is in a residential zone, and has been there for 50 years, and he has all this equipment and material and everything?
Mm-hmm.
That's an obvious nuisance. How do you, after 50 years, come up and say, you got to get rid of all this stuff?
Well,
you can't do that.
Yeah, you've got several laws at work there. So the land use laws allow him the use because that's grandfathered, but he can't expand. And so what's happening in a lot of those cases is junk's piling up, cars are piling up, the business is now expanding to deal with snowmobiles when it was just cars.
Okay.
So those things can be controlled.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah.
A lot of it's common sense. I mean,
yeah.
Well, all of this is just common sense.
Yeah. Katie?
I have a question. Will the county enforce for us anything that's over and above or much different from what their own ordinances are? Because the stuff that Rick was reading sounds, you know.
Yeah, that's precise for the community as a nuisance.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of has its own section.
Okay.
But the protocols in here make it easy for the county to enforce what we need enforced.
Oh, okay.
And so they will have to look at different codes and different things. But we've got a number of months before we take over planning. So for them to enforce their own code in Lapine is not going to be that difficult.
Yeah.
It's the extra stuff.
Right, that's what I'm saying. They are, but they will do the extra stuff?
Well, if the IGA is modified to do this, and Rick's talked with the county, and they've said, they'd be interested.
That's a good question, because I kind of asked that. It's easier, obviously, if the codes are alike, but this one's more strict. Yeah, I think the county's looking at it as it's an income source, kind of to their code department. They'll charge us, I think they said, $40 an hour or something. So they're doing a code, say, between Sun River and Lapine. They're already driven down. Then they'll come into Lapine, they can do a little bit, and we'll forward them the complaints that we think are important. They'll go look at them, send an initial letter, that type of thing. And yes, I think we can have some of their more specific costs.
Okay, well that's good, because we can set them up the way we want them.
And then, Karen, that's a good question to ask. Can you hear me, Karen?
Yeah.
I see you're back there. Wave, Karen. There you go.
She hasn't got a microphone to use this time.
If you wanted to, you could take any one of these and you could go pick on people all over the place.
Sure.
But that's just not what happens.
Yeah.
It really is. It's complaint driven, and you just are skimming some of the worst. So the fact that somebody has done something for a lot of years and nobody's complaining and it's kind of there, no one's going to go in and start bugging. I think what Deborah said is really good. If they're expanding it, they're changing it, it's that type of stuff we can say, whoa, you had 20 junk cars on your property, now you got 25. You go take photos. In some cases, you will make them go back because it's not grandfathered. How about the person that's got 8 or 10 horses, on an acre? Mm-hmm. Then we only allow 2, that type of thing. We're going to be more strict on. So it really is case-by-case. Basis.
Okay, but some of them are going to be complaint driven. These new are going to be coming up, so they can act on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that bothered me is the other night at the meeting you shared about this trailer and this bunch of wood that was laying there, and when we were talking about safety measures. I looked at that trailer that's all laying there and pieces of the tin that a kid could go over there, get in the middle of that and chop off his leg. And that really bothered me because that was a real mess.
Did you go over and look at it, you said?
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, take that one. Okay, take that one. That one is one that I think, there's no one going to be grandfathered on that. He can tell us he's been tearing trailers apart like that forever. Well, you're not anymore. And we've got to have a nuisance ordinance because the county has already said it's not a zoning issue, it's inside a trailer park. They evidently didn't need a demolition permit, so they're not in trouble for not having it. And the DEQ actually stopped and met me last week at City Hall and said there was no asbestos. This goes back to what Cindy had said. These are really nuisance issues. You need an ordinance that says you cannot tear apart a trailer. You cannot have debris laying on the ground, that type of thing. Then we could have went in and said, oh no, you got, 1 week to get this baby cleaned out of here. Or at some point, we can clean it up and bill them for it. You can do some things. That's the ordinance that I'm looking for.
And Rick, I understand what you're saying, but let's say our codes were in place today and somebody's using a saw or dismantling or tearing apart a mobile home in a mobile home park. We would use our code and say, you're only authorized for this. You're not authorized for tearing apart this on the property. That's a use that occurs in an industrial zone. You're not properly zoned for this, and you could write the ticket right then and there. You wouldn't necessarily need to have it on a special list. It's just looking at the code, what's allowed, and if that's not allowed because it's not listed, You can work it two ways.
Oh, my guess is there's probably, like, you take that one, there's probably several ways you could skin that cat.
Absolutely.
With our current ordinances and some new ones.
Yeah.
Of course, ours aren't in effect yet.
Right.
And so it's just kind of...
Yeah, it's not remodeling. I mean, something like that, the county should be interpreting their code to say that's not what was intended.
Well, I agree.
Yeah, is that...
Wouldn't it be just common sense if somebody in the trailer park had a trailer that was no longer livable and you couldn't move it, you got to get rid of it? Wouldn't it just be common sense that the city would say, well, yeah, go ahead and tear it apart and clean it up. We'll give you 14 days to do it.
Not necessarily. You might say, okay, we understand your situation. There's no alternative. So we want protective fencing around it.
Right. Well, yeah.
You know, okay. We want all of the things that make it, and your schedule, which is right.
Right, okay.
So we just can't let it go. It has to be done properly.
Yeah, okay. And that's what they do when they tear apart dangerous things. They put a fence around it. They protect it.
Yeah. They hauled, before it got demolished, they hauled this thing. It was a full, probably, what is it, 12 by 16 type, you know, full hole. They yanked that thing behind these other trailers, 12-foot trouble. Well, you know, you have a trailer park that has, you know, 38 spaces, and they're supposed to be, you know, 10, 20 feet between them, and they each have their little porches.
Right.
Well, how in the world can the owner of the trailer park just pull a trailer, you know, literally behind your trailer, and then just leave it? And evidently, it sat there for several months before they started the demolition.
Yeah, so that's crazy.
That doesn't meet their license.
No.
So.
Okay, so it sounds like we've got a couple things to do.
Yes, we do. So are we moving forward? Anything else?
No.
Right, we don't have any other matters to consider, so.
Hey, just one other thing, Doug. I would like... Just philosophy, I'd like to hear from all of the planning commission and, you know, anyone else in the room, I guess. Do you think planning code, regardless of how we do this, the things we're talking about, nuisance abatement and all this, is it a priority, do you think, and do you support us moving forward and start trying to do some of this?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah,
I've talked to you about this a number of times.
Right.
We need to get all the duck in a row, all the rules in a row, and get it all down on paper so we have a legal basis to follow. And then when the council finally gets around to getting us an enforcement officer, we need to get this stuff cleaned up. Now, we all understand it isn't going to happen next week.
Right.
It's going to take a long time. But we need to, and you've already started. You got a good start on the woodcutter. You got Gordy took care of that big mess that he had down there, and I know that you and Ken had a big hand in that. You got this mess up here with the beer place that's falling apart. So we are starting. We need to continue.
Is that consensus from the rest of you in there?
Yes.
And I do think another thing too is that this period of time that we don't have the money, we still can do the education.
Absolutely.
If we get everything together and are educated, then, like Deborah said, we need to, so that we don't start it, you know, and nobody knows what's going on.
We have to.
They all know what's going to happen.
We have to have
to do the outreach.
And that doesn't cost that much, too.
Okay.
You know.
Any additional comments, Norm? Gloria?
Once you guys have kind of a rough draft that you're all comfortable with, then I would think we'd have some public kind of town halls and maybe go to a bigger venue if we need to, and really kind of have several opportunities for the public to hear and listen and comment.
It would be good if we could do that before the snow falls.
Sure.
Deb, you think we can have some of this pulled together that by then?
Yes.
But it's going to, we need a month of advertising to wake everybody up.
Yeah, and personally,
one time in the paper isn't going to do it.
No.
We learned that with the road widening at Cable.
Yeah.
I was the only one that showed up in the whole city, and you and I were the only ones there.
But you just can't put an ad in the newspaper and hope somebody's going to cut it out and say, gee whiz, I want to go here. I would be calling people at the chamber and getting a commitment that you will be there on this date with two of your staff. Mm-hmm. You know, the school district needs to be there, yeah, the whole bit.
We need newspaper story, not a legal notice.
We need our own public notice, or
we need a
press release.
Yeah. We might even buy an ad, you know, get people, and then proactively call the chamber, they email their members, etc.
We might get it for free if we say it's a press release, too.
Gloria, you have anything to add? Would you like to make any last-minute comments?
Well, yeah, I'm always open for a comment, but Lapine is a very rural, it could be an extremely nicer neighborhood. And I've only been here 3 months, but we picked out the neighborhood because it was a rural neighborhood, because that's where I'm from northern New York. But yet, I'm tired of going into Bend and people in Bend degrading Lapine.
Well,
I think it's, you know, and I'll do whatever. I'm going to come to all your meetings so you get sick of me, but I mean, Lapine has to hold its ground.
That attitude has been around for about the last 40 years.
Well, and I know that. That's why I'm not just coming here as an outsider. I talk to as many people as I can talk to, you know, and people respect. The people in Respine needs more respect, and that's it. And I think it's because of when you drive down the road and see all the junk in one neighborhood where somebody's trying to build the $200,000 house next to it. Not that we need all $200,000 houses, you know, but you could have a $50,000 house that looks nice and meets the requirements. Because there's sewer running over the side lawns. And that's my fear. If you don't want me here, just tell me, don't show up.
No, never show up again.
No, thank you for your comments.
You know, and I'm from a very farmer, rural neighborhood in northern New York. So I'm used to all this. That's why I moved here. But I don't want it to turn into a Bend where it's copying a California-type neighborhood.
Oh.
Where you're restricted on every single thing you do, you know. That's why I think Lapine is such a unique area, and I love to see that something's going on about it.
I would like to ask the two of you, including myself, if for our next meeting, bring a list. Bring a list of what you personally think is a nuisance to go along with this nuisance abatement code.
Okay.
Too many cars, garbage, whatever happens to me.
I'll try to get
and
hold.
We can put it together and we'll get a broad idea of what everybody, I think we're all going to come up with the same answer.
We'll also try to get a hold of a couple of lists from cities or small cities, rural cities. That
Rick, do you have anything else to end with?
No, just, you know, thanks for coming in on your holiday.
Hurry up, it's dinner time.
Yep.
You know, you
and I want to test it too against
okay.
our code.
All right.
Yeah.
Anything
works.
Else? Sure. No.
No, I would just like to say to Dennis, thanks for coming. Please encourage your neighbors to attend meetings.
Yes.
Attendance is
absolutely. If you want a couple of microphones.
We would like to see more
absolutely.
People all the time. Well, at meetings.
Well, it just improves the value of meetings. Mm-hmm.
Where does Dennis live?
Okay,
where do you live?
On Murray. Corner of Murray and
is it King? Off of King.
Oh! Little A Brandy. She's living in my neighborhood. I don't know if King or Pine.
He might want to get more involved, huh?
I'll take a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
Second to adjourn.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Rick.
Thank you.
Nice meeting you.
Yeah, nice to see you there, Mr.
Stott.
In the picture, does this
actually
work okay? Yeah.
It's working fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Works good. It's
kind of
weird, but it works.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Yeah, but it works. Yeah.
You need to have your makeup artist do it.
I think you ought to only be fined half the amount.
Yeah, because you came late to the meeting. Bye-bye.
Bye. Where is he?
Okay.
I'm going to have you sign this.
Yes, and when that document comes from Deborah, will you give me a call?
Sure.
So you can print it up for me?
Some empty envelopes?
Oh, I didn't. Thank you. No. No. We need voices.
Well, if we tell them to regulate with files.
We'll see y'all later.
Bye-bye.
Is that your pen there?
Oh, I don't know.
Mrs. Davis, I guess I have Great. Laura excited. Yes.
You should be a list on regulating.